Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, Eliana Johnson of National Review, in for Jim Garrity today. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for you. And Eliana, no manufactured applause today for the Three Martini Lunch. The in-studio audience will only applaud if they actually really enjoy what we're talking about. And that would probably work better if we had an in-studio audience. But the reason we mention that is because Washington Post media reporter Eric Wemple was at the CNN town hall event last week with Hillary Clinton. And according to Breitbart, the network not only brought in a Clinton-friendly crowd, but at various times a stage handler taught and directed the crowd to applaud. First of all, it was in Washington, where obviously the demographics skew considerably towards the Democrats. So she had a very friendly audience. But even with an audience packed with ringers, it's written here in Breitbart, quite incredibly, CNN still felt the need to manipulate applause for Clinton during what was advertised as a news event. Wemple writes, quote, to add energy to its show, CNN deployed an enthusiastic stage director who coached the audience to applaud at various points throughout the broadcast, not in a partisan manner for Clinton, but for the sake of the town hall's television optics. Approximately 15 minutes before the show, the producer ran the audience through a practice round of applause and noisemaking, the results of the audience prodding turned up in the show's video. And so, Eliana, anybody who's ever been on a TV set knows that when there is a live studio audience, whether it's the Tonight Show, a game show, anything like that, obviously there are applause signs and that sort of thing. But in a political situation like this, other than maybe an intro clap like they do at the debates, it just has a weird feel to it. So good for Eric Wemple and good for Breitbart to point this out.
Yeah, I mean, these sort of coached laugh tracks or applause tracks remind me sort of 90s sitcoms. It's a little bit weird, particularly given how much this book tour has been associated with the future campaign. And you would think that a mainstream news organization would go along with that and let the audience react as it sees fit. I know as a former producer on Fox, when we had people on, we would prod the audience to clack in primetime, but I don't think Fox is considered a mainstream broker of news, particularly in primetime. I think the expectations for CNN are quite different.
Do you expect this to reverberate in any way, or is this just pretty much an isolated incident and most people forget about it soon?
I don't think it's such a big deal, but certainly I do think it will alter the expectations if she has another town hall, which I don't know if she does. This seemed perhaps like an isolated event in terms of her media rollout, but that they perhaps would be more cautious going forward, having been called out on this.
And as it's been pointed out over the weekend, her book is not anywhere close to expectations. And as Jim Garrity pointed out, she's actually losing to a juice cleanse book over the last week or so. But sure.
It's probably somewhat more interesting than hard choices.
I guess so. All right, on to the bad martini now. And speaking of Hillary Clinton, she has come under quite a bit of criticism for her comment to Diane Sawyer that she and Bill Clinton were dead broke, and it keeps coming up because she keeps sticking her foot in her mouth. The latest is in an interview with the UK newspaper The Guardian, in which she compared herself with other multimillionaires, but says, unlike the truly well-off, she and her husband, who have a net worth of about $50 million, pay ordinary income tax and have amassed their fortune through dint of hard work. That's because other millionaires, of course, did not work hard for their money. Eliana, in the same piece for the Washington Post, which looks at the ongoing back and forth about the Clintons' finances here and the fact that she obviously makes quite a bit in her speaking engagements, Donna Brazile, who ran Al Gore's presidential campaign and is a strong Hillary supporter, says that this smacks of sexism. She says, I hope Hillary never apologizes for trying to earn a living. She's no different than Colin Powell, no different than Jeb Bush, no different than anybody else who's left public office and looked for ways to make an income. What is wrong with a woman having the same earning potential as any man? And conservatives, I think, probably look at this in a couple different ways. Number one, of all the things you can spend time criticizing Hillary Clinton for, making money in the private sector is probably the least effective, considering her.
This is what you call changing the subject. I think the one thing she has not been criticized for is making money. What she has been criticized for is trying to say that she is poor, middle class, lower middle class. I think what people object to is her putting on the pretension of being poor, which, you know, people don't like phonies. To Mitt Romney's credit, he never tried to act like a phony. He acted like a wealthy guy who had worked hard for his wealth. I think right now many people would prefer a Mitt Romney to a Hillary Clinton who's trying to act like an impoverished person. Neither one of those are ideal choices, but certainly Hillary is not going over well trying to affect the mean of lower middle class person who's scraping her way up the social ladder.
And then the other aspect on here, and a lot of conservatives kind of reacting to the Donna Brazile comments, is almost like a giant sigh, because obviously many criticisms of the current president have resulted in allegations, well, the only reason you're saying that is because we've got a black president. And now Donna Brazile is suggesting that there's a sexist tone to criticism of Hillary's revenues for her speaking fees. And so we got a lot of people rolling their eyeballs saying, do we have to listen to every criticism of Hillary be labeled as sexist now during this campaign, and if she wins for at least 4 years?
So I don't know, what would that make the criticism of Mitt Romney for being wealthy? Was that an anti-Mormon criticism or some other sort of gendered criticism? That just makes absolutely no sense to me. But I do think it's indicative of the sort of pushback that you're going to see from Hillary fans, that any sort of criticism you lob against her, much like any sort of criticism you see lobbed against the current president, is racist, sexist, and so on. But it's so clearly not what it is. I think what you're seeing is that the American public can sense a phony and doesn't like a phony.
Are you surprised at how widespread she's been panned over the last couple of weeks?
Given the responses that she's given, which are totally inept, I'm not surprised.
We'll see how it goes from here and if she can fine tune her message. But first impressions, at least this time around, can have a lasting impression. We'll see if a lot of people are actually paying attention. All right, on to the Crazy Martini now. And Eliana, this is the type of story the Crazy Martini was invented for. For those who can remember all the way back to 1990, then Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry, whoever at the time I believe was presiding over the murder capital of the world, D.C. was a far more dangerous place then than it is today, but he was caught on an FBI videotape now with an undercover officer in a D.C. hotel room smoking a crack pipe, and that was pretty much uncontested. He went to prison. He obviously pled not guilty, went through a trial and all that sort of thing. But now he's got a new book out, and he was on the Daily Rundown with Chuck Todd today, and Marion Barry dropped this bombshell on Chuck Todd and the nation.
The federal government never proved there was crack in that pipe. Jurors didn't believe it. The answer is no. And so, therefore, people ought to stop.
So you deny that you ever smoked crack?
Yes.
You've never smoked crack in your life?
Never smoked crack. Simple as that.
Only 24 years later, he's finally giving that version of events. Eliana, what do you make of it?
I mean, this is a classic case of who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? I think we expect politicians to shade the truth and to lie, but not when there's video evidence contradicting their statements. That's what only the most inept politicians do. I don't think that should come as any surprise, given that it's Marion Barry who's doing this.
And the MSNBC producers, to their credit, were rolling the 1990 undercover footage of him smoking the crack pipe as he was denying it. Although I'm sure it was just tobacco, Eliana. It was just a big misunderstanding. I'm sure the undercover FBI agent just got it all wrong.
Yeah, most likely. Who do you trust in this situation? Marion Barry's, take Marion Barry's word for it, or the FBI? It's a tough call.
On that note, we'll call time for today. Eliana, as always, great to have you with us. Thanks for filling in for Jim.
Thanks, Greg. Good to talk to you.
Same here. Eliana Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. Thanks for being with us, and tune in on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.